Strongman Academy podcast. Here we go. Today I've got Jeff Williams, husband, father, founder of the Williams Group Baton Rouge, and statewide leader in character and leadership development for young men. He goes in schools regularly, pushing students to reach their greatest potential by embracing positive change, setting standards for themselves, and having the discipline to meet those high standards every day. He came to speak to Strongman Academy earlier this year with LaVore Robinson and Fathers on a Mission, and to this date is one of the most engaging speakers we have had. Jeff, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hello. Well, first of all, thanks, Andy, for having me on the podcast today, man. It's an honor and a pleasure. I am Jeff Williams Sr., as Andy said. I am a father, husband of 15 years to my wife, Renee, father of four boys. I've been in ministry for 16 years, originally from Ruston, Louisiana, residing here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for the last about 15 years or so, I guess. And I am now, formerly was the vice president of an architecture firm, but transition, long road that we can possibly talk about, and transition into being an educational consultant and working with young men now across the country. So that's what I'm doing every day now.
Yeah, man, sometimes your passions just change.
They do. And like I said, we've been in ministry, man, for about 18 years now. I've been in ministry as well. And so while I was working in an architecture firm, I moved here to be a project manager for the Shaw Group. That's what I originally moved to Baton Rouge for. And okay. I was going out to the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison every Tuesday and ministering to men at the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison.
Awesome.
That transcended over a 2-year period into me actually working with Healing Place Church here and actually being the executive director of the local reentry coalition here in Baton Rouge.
Nice.
Did that here for 3 years in Baton Rouge and then became a statewide Louisiana field director for Prison Fellowship Ministries, which is the biggest prison ministry in the world. And we had six regional coalitions around the state of Louisiana and did basically reentry services for grown men who were coming back to prison. I did that for about 7 years and then just realized I don't care what we do, man. If we wait to try and rehabilitate people on the back end, we just could not provide enough services to keep up with the amount of men that were coming home from prison. So I transitioned then into youth mentoring to try and head off some of the issues and problems that we were dealing with on the back end through reentry programs in the state of Louisiana.
That's awesome. That's what we try to do with Strongmen. Strongmen is middle school specific.
Right.
Because I feel like at 13, 14, we can get them, and some of them by 16, 17, God bless them. If they're gone, they're gone.
Right. Yeah. And I'm primarily in middle schools and high schools now.
Okay.
But definitely the middle school age group is where I think we can reach them. You know, I'd like to get them as early as 10 if I can.
Yeah.
You know, I think it takes a little while for them to really be able to grasp the principles that we're trying to teach them. So I like them around 9, 10 years old, starting with them. And hopefully if we're blessed, we can get them around that age group and we can walk with them all the way to the graduation line, man. That's the way I love to do it if possible. It's not always possible that way, but that's when it works best.
Yeah, I'm looking at expanding. This is my second year with Strongmen.
Okay.
Second year with just the eighth grade, but next year I want to go 6 through 8 so Wonderful. That I can see some progress.
Wonderful.
You know, it's cool to see progress in 9 months, and we do.
Right.
But to be able to watch it over 3 years,
Absolutely.
It's almost, I mean, we're planting seeds to live oaks here.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It's
Absolutely.
Gonna be years before we see what happens.
Right. And that's kind of, you know, I also worked as a part of the Dow Leadership Academy. That was an initiative between Iberville Parish, White Castle High School, and Dow Chemical Company.
Okay.
That was a 3-year program. So kind of like you said, we got some young men who were actually 10th grade when we got them 3 years ago. That group of young men is going to graduate this May. So we've been able to see over the last 3 years, we see exactly what we've been able to produce with the mentoring program. And some
awesome.
Of them are going to be doing some great things. So we're excited about that and being able to kind of replicate that in some other places as well.
Good deal. Well, guys, as you can already see, Jeff's not just a guy that talks the talk. He is a real man. He's physically fit. He's mentally fit. He's spiritually fit. And he's fit in his relationships. And he's always looking for ways to add more value to himself so that he doesn't only preach the way of manhood to young men, but he's a model for it. And we're going to get into that model in a second. But the first question I want to ask you about, self-awareness is the foundation of our pyramid, what I call our pyramid of maturity in Strongman. And you're an expert on the subject. Talk about the elements of self-awareness that you teach to young men, how they accomplish that self-awareness, and what we as adults can do to help them constantly evaluate who who they are.
Yeah, well, I actually, in my mentoring curriculum for boys, I actually approach manhood from a standpoint, and I mean, it's all self-awareness, but the first part of that, my curriculum is I approach it from the standpoint of branding, as if we were a Fortune 500 company. If you as a man was a Fortune 500 company, just like Apple, just like Burger King, just like McDonald's, how would we brand you as a young man? Because you are someone who is trying to add value to yourself and ultimately attract other people to invest in you over a period of time. So we teach it from a concept of branding. And so I tell them the same thing. When we say self-awareness, well, first of all, you got to have a name. You got to know who exactly you are, not what you do or not what you want to do, but who you are at the core. And I always tell them, we have to begin with an honest evaluation. Don't tell me where you want to be. Are we going to get into that? But let's talk about honestly where I am today. Am I a man? Do I operate fully like a man? Do I even know what that means? We don't do it to degrade anybody, but we do it to get an honest evaluation of where we are, the starting point of where we are, and then we can transition into where we want to go from there. So I tell them, we need to identify who you are. Then you need to have a mission, a purpose, something that drives you, that makes you want to wake up in the morning and go and chase. You know, we've always heard that men are hunters. We've got to be hunting or pursuing something if we're going to be relevant in any way. So what is that thing that your person, your passion that you're chasing? What's your mission? Then I say, okay, we can't just have these desires of what we want to get, but if you're actually going to accomplish or achieve anything, you got to have what companies call standard operating procedures. Some core values that you live by, that you hang your hat on, and no matter who you are, what you want to do, this is the way I go about doing my business on a daily basis. So I teach things like wisdom, because you've got to have wisdom about whatever it is. If you want to be successful at something, you got to be wise in how that thing works, you know. And then I teach respect. Respect is something that I think young men have often thought was based out of fear, striking fear into people, making everybody be afraid of you and those type things. But respect, when we actually study the word, is actually rooted in love. So how do you love? Self-love. How do you love yourself?
Yeah, I was about to like say, respect said, always starts self-respect. Like,
self-respect. So how do you love yourself? Like you said, mind, body, soul, spirit. How do you love yourself? How do you invest into yourself? Then how do you transcend the love that you have for yourself over into other people? How do you love, honor, respect other people? Then I teach diligence, because I don't care what it is that we desire to do. If we don't have a diligent spirit about us, that we're going to wake up with a plan and a purpose every day and go out and try and get that, we're not going to get it, you know. And then I teach loyalty and honor. Those are kind of my core values, but I encourage every young man that I work with, let's get you 3 to 5 core values.
Yeah.
If these are your core values that you tell me you want to live by, I'm not going to force mine upon you, because when it's time to have accountability, I want to be able to look that young man in the face and say, hey, look, I'm not trying to force you to do what I said I wanted
you
to do.
That's your stuff.
This is your stuff that you gave me. I committed to support you do what you said you want to do. So let's get back on the plan. And what it does is, when you have that standard operating procedures, when you have those core values, it not only tells you what to do, but it also gives you an evaluation tool to see when you're off track, and we know exactly where we need to go in and make the adjustments to move forward.
Man, whoo, I love that plan.
Yes, sir.
You know, I tell people all the time, the number one reason I do these podcasts is to educate myself. Hopefully the listeners out there learn a little bit too.
Yeah, but yeah, you get a lot. Just yeah, and you've had some great people on as well, man.
Man. So, second one, and this goes back to what I mentioned earlier. I believe modeling is way more important to young men than the words we tell them.
Right.
And I think you're the same mindset. Tell me about you coming up as a kid, you know, and then into a young man, how you personally acquired all these traits, and what mentors to young men can do on a daily basis to serve as models.
Right. Well, me coming up, man, I was blessed and fortunate, especially for, I guess, what people would perceive for the African-American male, man. I was blessed to have 3 generations of men that were active in my life. I had my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my father,
awesome,
who were all there, all present, you know. So I was able to get history lessons. I was able to get the present time. I was able to get taught for the future. So yeah, I had those 3 examples of men to look at on a daily basis and kind of learn from them. Some of them, my dad wasn't a big talker. He was just a man, a truck driver for 30 plus years, who just woke up, went to work, took care of his wife, took care of his son, took care of his 2 daughters. And I was just able to watch him go to work every single day and just see, this is what a man man does. My two grandfathers were more talkative type. They were more of the type that would sit down and have these long, drawn-out conversations with me. Sometimes I wouldn't even know what they were talking about at the time, but now that I've gotten older and become a grown man myself, a lot of it makes a lot of sense, and I see exactly what they were trying to tell me. And so what I try to do now, man, is as a mentor myself, you know, I try to teach men and young men in a manner that we can grasp and understand it. So me being a former college football player, I teach people like this. I'm also a spiritual man of God. The Bible says that we should train up a child in the way that they should go. In training in football, basketball, baseball, I think this is the same approach we have to take with mentoring. We have to train young people. In training, the first thing we do is we have a conversation about what it is that we need to do or we want to do or what we want to accomplish. Then we transition from talking to you about it to we actually physically give you a physical example. I'm going to line up first and I'm going to show you exactly what the expectation is and how you should do this. And then I'm going to give you the freedom to actually do repetitions of it yourself. I want to see you walk out in action what I just told you to do and what I just showed you to do. And then here's the key thing to it. When you mess up, not get upset with you, not kill your character, kill your confidence, but coach you in the moment on how to do it the right way. Now, see, that's a concept that we do every day in sports, but in regular life, we tell a young man to do something, he doesn't do it exactly the way we tell him to do it, and man, we can just tear him down, tear him apart, make him feel so horrible that he did not meet the expectation. But training is an evolution, a process of evolution. Yeah. It's continuous. It never stops. So like I said, I think the best thing that we can do is be an example to them. Tell them what we want them to do, but also show them a consistent example. Young men have to have consistency. They don't believe in things that don't happen consistently. So if you're telling them with your mouth to do something, but they're observing you and you're not doing it, eventually he's going to stop doing it as well, because he's going to say he doesn't even meet that expectation or that standard himself. And so for me, like I said, with my father, was not a man of many lectures or many words, but because I saw him consistently do things day after day after day, when I got old and became a father, whether he verbally told me this is what you need to do as a dad or not, I had a consistent example and I knew what to do just from watching him go and do his business. So, you know, I think sometimes when we're mentoring kids directly, we can talk and have conversation with them, but there are indirect ways that we mentor young men all the time. He may not have connection with you, but he's watching you on a daily basis. And so if you're doing what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, he will eventually model that as well.
Yeah, and the kids have way better radar than we realize.
Right.
You know, I'm so into this strongman thing right now. It's what I want to do with all my time and all my energy. It's my passion. But part of being that good model is I exercise a lot. I run. I do triathlons. Right. I'm a father.
Right.
And I like to think I'm a good father. I spend time with my family. Right. So sometimes I have to remind myself to stay this good model for strong men.
Absolutely.
I can't throw all my eggs in that basket. I got to exercise, got to spend time with my family.
Right.
And then this is another thing that I do
right.
that I love to do. And it's crazy. My homeroom kids in the morning, mm-hmm. they'll be like, "You didn't run this morning, did you?" And I'm like, "How'd y'all know?" And they're like, "We can just tell, man."
Yeah.
Just kind of by the way different. You moving, the way you talking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Is it a bad thing?" "No, it's not a bad thing. We just want you to know we know."
We notice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're always watching.
Right.
Always paying attention. Absolutely.
So I try to stay away from negatives as much as I can. I try to make strong men and everything we do just extremely positive. But I saw a video that you posted from a few years ago about the 8 P's that prevent a boy from becoming a man. I think you were speaking to moms a lot.
Right.
But as a society and as a school system, we're guilty of those 8 P's as well.
Right.
Can you touch on those 8 P's that we need to avoid as parents and as leaders?
Yeah, and I'll try to remember. But those 8 P's, man, that's actually listed in my book, 5-Star Boys. But yeah, I think the first one was pacify. And, you know, the whole concept behind it was is that, you know, I think everyone wants the young man that they're mentoring, that they're parenting or whatever, to become a strong, positive role model. But sometimes, man, just from not knowing, and out of love. We love our kids to death, I like to say. We love them so much that sometimes we do things that's not in the best interest of their long-term productivity. So like pacifying them, you know, I tell, and like you said, a lot of times it's mothers, but sometimes it's mothers and fathers. But, you know, I have adult sons now. Two of my four sons are adults now. So one of my oldest sons just got married last Friday on Valentine's Day, as a matter of fact. And one of the things that I was able to do is I stood with the bride's father and I was like, you know, I'm proud of the product that I'm giving you. I can stand on the product that I'm giving you. I didn't pacify him. I didn't baby him. He made some decisions along the way that I didn't necessarily care for, but I allowed him to feel, you know, the consequences of his action. I didn't try to go in and pacify him and make him feel as if he didn't make a bad choice. I didn't let him sink and drown, but I let him know that you went down the wrong direction. That was the wrong path. I didn't pacify him. I didn't try to make him, you know, a pacifier for a baby is to give them the illusion that they're being fed, but they're really not being fed. Sometimes we give our kids things that we think we're feeding them. We think we're feeding their spirit, but we're really not. We're really killing their spirit. We're really putting values in them that are not going to be productive later. You know, I also say you can't pay for everything for them. You can't buy your child into manhood. You can't do it. I don't care how many clothes you buy him, you know, and I said something to the nature in the book that, you know, his polo, Ralph Polo Lauren shirt and his necklace and his shoes won't buy him a good GPA at school.
Right.
You can't purchase it for him. You have to prepare him. And the whole thing was, the only P that matters is preparation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we got all these other things that we try to do, but what we should concentrate on is preparing. You can't prevent your son from encountering the things that life is going to blow his way. There's no way. You can't. A lot of parents will try to, I'm going to keep him in the house. I'm never going to let him out of my sight.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let him play with other kids. All these things, I'm going to prevent him from getting into things that a man just gets into. And you just can't. Life, you know, I said in another video one time that life is the greatest offensive force we will ever encounter. It throws more things at us more rapidly than any other opponent you will ever have. You can't prevent us from dealing with it, but I can prepare you that when the tough times do come, you're prepared to deal with what's coming your way. That's what I tried to do with my son, and that's why I was able to stand with my daughter-in-law's father and say, listen, I'm proud of the product that I'm putting on display. He's ready to take your daughter from you, and I can stand on that because I prepared him for this moment. That there was nothing that was fabricated. I didn't make him think this was going to be easy. I didn't try to cushion him or save him from falling. He's gone through the fire. He's battle tested. He's proven he's ready to take your daughter on and be responsible for her. And I just think sometimes that we do things as parents that just kind of go against being able to have that conversation. I think everybody would like to be able to stand in a wedding and say, my son is ready. But as we're seeing now, the divorce rate is 60, almost 70%. So obviously somebody's not prepared to get there. So I just wanted people to focus on preparation. That's the only thing that can save us. That's the only thing that can save our sons at the end of the day.
Right. And touching on your last P, you didn't promote him into manhood.
Didn't promote him into manhood. You can't just say, because a lot of people just try and promote with their mouths. My son is a man. I'm proud of the man that my son has become. But you really haven't prepared him for anything that manhood offered. Like, I always tell people, the minute that you say, I'm a man, and you profess that with your mouth, that was one of the other P's. You can't just profess manhood with your mouth. You can't promote him. You can't go out and promote him to other people. It's like a store advertising something, and they're telling you how great this product is. And I talked about that in my book. I said, can you imagine that you're up at late at night watching this infomercial? They've got this fabulous product that they're promoting to you. You say, oh, man, I've got to have that because they do such a great job of promoting it. Then you wait 6 to 8 weeks for it to come in. You finally get home, it's finally there, you bring it in and it doesn't work. You know, how discouraged would you be? How upset, irate would you be with that product? Well, that's what happens when you promote your son as being a man, and then some young lady says, okay, you got a great son. Okay, I want to date him, or I want to marry him, or whatever. And then he's dysfunctional, you know? And so we don't want to just promote again. You got to prepare your son to be a man. Manhood is a process of maturation. It is us preparing them to deal with. It's basically trying to anticipate anything challenge that he will incur in life and prepare him before it ever comes. That's the thing about preparation. Preparation is not waiting to after something happens. It's right. We're going to anticipate what's coming, and we're going to prepare ourselves to deal with it. Like you mentioned about running. You're not just going to go jump in a marathon and then get all these cramps and body cramps and chest ache and, right. and tightness and then say, wait a minute, I need to go prepare myself for that. You got to prepare yourself for weeks or months, sometimes years before you actually get into the race. That's what we got to do with our young men. We know as soon or late, like I said, as soon as he professes himself a man, there's a role and responsibilities that come along with that. Everybody's going to say, okay, well, here's the responsibilities that we think a man is supposed to have. And then when you can't meet those expectations, you just become a disappointment or a burden to someone other than a blessing to someone, which is what we as men should be. Blessing to our families, blessing to our communities. A lot of us become burdens because we have not been prepared for manhood.
Yeah, and one line I give my kids all the time, especially those middle school kids that can get hot-tempered and their emotions are still kind of taking the hormones are going,
right.
is I always say respond rather than react.
Right.
And that response comes from repetition Absolutely. From a similar situation time and time and time and Absolutely. Time and time. You know how to respond. And I always give a football analogy. Mm-hmm. You know, if a linebacker, for example, knows is going to be a fake to the weak side, mm-hmm. and then the line pulls to the strong side, and the guy initially goes to the strong side, a weaker linebacker is just going to react, and he's going to bite that way, right. and he's going to get bitten down the field.
Right.
But a seasoned guy that responds, he knows, he sees it going that way,
right.
but he knows how it's going to unfold. And right. he waits patiently,
right.
and then boom, he hits him on the weak side for a sack.
Right, but like you said, he's repped it time and time again before. He's seen it. This is not right. his first time seeing it. And that's what I was saying about training young men.
Yeah.
We've got to train them beforehand. You know, I walk in, my son who's here with me today is 8 years old. We go in the store right now, and I apologize to people for making them wait sometimes, but I'm already at 8 years old giving him the money, saying, you go to the counter. You tell them what it is that you want. You pay for it. You wait for your change. And he's eight, so sometimes he needs some extra time to figure it out. So, you know, I apologize to the people. My apologies. I know it's taking a little longer, but I'm trying to train him That's on awesome. What he needs to do later, you know. And so when he really gets into this situation, he's like the linebacker that you're talking about. He's been here before. He's seen this before. He's done this before. So he doesn't just go in the wrong direction. Even though it may look a certain way, he knows because he's been prepared enough. Let me just evaluate the situation, analyze the situation, and let me respond in the right way instead of, like you said, not just reacting, but overreacting because when I'm not familiar with something, oftentimes we over, it's like driving a car. If I'm not a veteran driver and the car starts to go, I overreact. And that's how yeah. most people get in accidents right. because they overcorrect. Seasoned driver will take their time and just gently put the car back in the place yeah. it needs to be. But you're able to do that because I've been here before. I've done it before. I think now that's what I'm saying about the preparation. We don't give young men enough preparation beforehand. So when they get hit with all these situations, that someone like myself or you may look at me like, man, I know. Because I know sometimes my son would come to me with things and he's pulling his hair out like, Dad, I can't believe this is going on. And I ask him what's going on. And when he tells me, I'm like, son, that's just like an everyday thing. It's a big deal to you. But to me as a man, that's like minute. That's not a problem at all.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how to fix it. But he's going crazy because he's never been there. He's never done that. I remember my oldest son when he first went to college, you know, just getting registered for classes and going to class on the first day was a big deal. And he calls me going frantic and going, I'm like, son, there are thousands of other kids on the campus too. If you don't know where you're supposed to go, just ask somebody. It's not a big deal. But the training has to be in place. If the training is not there, then absolutely, we're going to overreact, we're going to overcorrect, and ultimately get ourselves in situations that, as you and I both know, a lot harder to get ourselves out of things than yeah. it was to get into it. Yeah,
no doubt. So moving on to a lightning round, there's going to be five quick questions.
Okay.
You know what, you can respond quick or you can take your time.
Okay.
Either way, number one, if you could meet and conversate with anyone in America, who would it be?
Alive? Alive. in America right now? I would love to have a conversation with President Trump. I really would. And not that I think from experience, everybody knows that you really can't change his perspective or his opinion on anything. But I would really, he's the leader of our country.
Yeah.
So for good or bad or worse or however someone feels about that, I'd like to have a conversation with him to see exactly where his head is at, exactly where you plan on leading this country to. Because I'm in the mindset now, man, that whatever direction we're going in, we need to try to jump in and make the best out of that situation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so if you never talk to people, you never actually hear where they're coming from or what their perspective is, you can just think that it's a bad thing, it's a terrible thing, and you can be going in the opposite direction. I mean, ultimately, we need unity in this country if it's ever going to be a better place for us all to live. So, yeah, I think right now, I think President Trump would be who I would really love to talk to.
Excellent answer.
Yeah.
All right, number two. Biggest challenge young men face in Louisiana?
Man, I think culture. And not just in Louisiana, everywhere, man. I think I was down in Panama City, Florida, a couple weeks ago speaking at an alternative school there in Bay County. And I think you know, they had a hurricane a couple years ago. 50% of their student population is living under the bridge in tents right now, but yet they're still coming to school every day. And they're having a lot of problems because teachers are still putting all of these demands on them without being considered of the fact that they're living under the bridge, you know. And so, but I shared with the teachers there, we have a clash of cultures. You know, they have a culture, whether you like it, whether you disagree with it, whether you think it's horrible or not, it's a culture that they come from, that they're familiar with, that they've learned how to operate within. And then when they come through these doors, you're trying to force them to become a part of a culture. And sometimes in school doesn't even have a culture. So you're trying to replace culture with no culture.
Yeah,
or you're trying to replace a culture that they're unfamiliar with. And men in general, we gravitate toward things that we do well or that we're strong. So if you try and force me into a culture that I don't really understand that culture, I don't really have strength within that culture, I'm just going to go into the shell, or I'm going to do what we do when we're not strong at something. I'm just going to disappear. I'm just going to quit. So I think they just struggle, man, with identity within cultures. How do I find myself in my culture and find where I fit in? And I think that's what's going on with a lot of our men, young men. They're doing whatever it is they're doing, good or bad, just to try to fit in a culture.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the adults around them just need to do a better job of knowing that and not just settling for whatever their culture is, but at least understanding it enough that I can transition you from where you are to where you want to be through this new culture. But I think that's the biggest issue for young men. It's like I'm trying to survive in this culture, and then I come here and you ask me to be a part of another culture. But what you ask me to do in this culture doesn't really resonate back in the culture that I have to go to every day. And so it's just this struggle to balance it all, man. And I think it's just driving a lot of our young men insane, man, just not knowing how to coexist in these different worlds that they're being asked to live in.
Yeah. You friends with Lamont Cole?
I am.
He gave me the exact same answer.
Did he really? Yeah, I am, but we never really had that conversation. But yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy. I do random. I have probably about 30 questions that I randomized for each podcast. And the last time I asked that question was with Cole. And he gave me the same answer.
Yeah, but he's an educator, so he's a lifelong educator, so he understands. Yeah.
And he's a huge building culture champion.
He is.
He's great at it. Number three, what do you do to relax?
Oh, man, I just try to read, meditate and then read on whatever it is that I read, man. I think, and then sometimes, man, kind of a crazy thing that I do that's not really relaxing, but it helps relax me mentally is I cook a lot, man. But that's kind of when I just get in my own zone and put the headphones on and get in my own world and just kind of process whatever's going on internally with me, just kind of shut down from everything and everybody else and just kind of do my thing.
Nice. Yeah. I do the same with the reading. Right now I read Marcus Aurelius Meditations.
Okay.
And then I'll meditate for like 15-20 minutes.
Yeah. And I'm trying to master this meditation thing. It wasn't something that I always did.
Yeah.
But it is something that the more and more I study and get involved with, I do believe in it. So I'm trying to get better at it, man. It's hard for me to shut my brain down, though, man. But I'm working on it.
Yeah, well, it's everybody. Definitely not you. Would you believe in Strong Men, we do all these different activities. Mm-hmm. And we do some regular things. Lead JRTC, come once a month. But their favorite thing to do is meditate.
Wow.
I got a buddy, Albert, that's like a meditation professional. Mm-hmm. He's been trained all around the country. And he'll lead them through a 45-minute guided meditation.
Wow.
And, man, it is absolutely their favorite thing, hands down.
Wow.
Just finding some serenity in their crazy lives, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it's necessary, but I wouldn't have thought they would have enjoyed it.
Same here. That's why I keep them coming back. Number four, proudest moment in your life?
Oh, man, the proudest moment in my life kind of changes, man, from from moment to moment. I mean, at one point in time, I would have said getting married, and then I would have said having kids. I think the proudest moment to date, man, was, like I said, oldest son got married last week, and that was a proud moment for me because with my oldest son, man, I got full custody of my oldest son when he was 15 months old. And so for about 10 years, I was a single father. And so and I was scared to death, man. I went into court and basically pled my case that I needed to have custody of him, was fortunate enough to win my custody case and get custody of him. And then I got home and looked at him, this 15-month-old baby boy, and I was like, okay, now I can't screw this up, man.
Good luck, dude.
Yeah, I cannot screw this up, man. And so it was kind of a guiding force for me for so many years to just make sure that I was a better man and better father, just so that I didn't screw up having custody of him. So watching him get married, last week and like I said, being able to stand there and be comfortable with the fact that I thought that he was prepared and that he's really going to be a great husband and a great father, that was a pretty proud moment for me because tell people all the time, you know, a lot of people do mentoring for young men off theory. Everything that I teach and train and mentoring is what I actually use to raise my own sons.
Yeah.
So for me, it's really not a theory. I've seen it. You know, like I said, I got custody of this young man when he was 15 months old. He stood at the altar as a 24-year-old young man last week. So I've been able to see a 20-plus-year maturation process of my work and then was blessed to get my wife involved in that too. Over the last past few years. And so, you know, it was wonderful. I think to date that I would have to say that was a pretty proud moment for me.
I'm envious of the moment. Hopefully it happens for me one day. Mine's yes, five right now. So I got
you got some 20 time,
years,
man.
20 years of prep time.
Got some time.
All right. Last question. I'm going to let you off on an easy one. Favorite song.
Oh man. I don't know if I have a favorite song now, Andy. I'm trying to think, man. I don't think I have one particular song that's my favorite song, man. But I guess if I had to think of one, there's a song, gospel song by Will McDowell, that's called It's Working. And I mean, it just really reassures you that even though it may not look like it sometimes, that all the work, the hard work and the time and the energy that you invest into trying to do the right thing, be the right type of person, it's actually working. Even if it doesn't feel like it or doesn't look like it right now, that it's working, it's manifesting something for your good and working in your favor. And so sometimes when I'm having those tough moments, I put that song on and just kind of listen to that reassurance that, man, it's not, because as you know, being an educator yourself, man, and doing the Strong Men program, you know, there are some days when it just looks like, man, we're just spinning wheels. And you know, that day when you get the young man that you've been mentoring for a long time and things have been going well, and then you get that phone call that he's in trouble at school or he's having a problem with his mom that day or whatever it is. And sometimes it just makes you feel like maybe we're just doing this, man, and it's just not working. But that song always helps me just kind of reassure that, man, even when you can't see the manifestation, it is manifesting, and you'll turn around one day like I did with my son, man. Some days there were some tough days as a single father, but in due time, you'll be able to look on it and say, you know what, it wasn't all for nothing. As a matter of fact, I go back and do it all over again now because I can see the fruit of the labor, and so kind of like that song.
Awesome. Well, keep it up because it's working.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
thank
sir.
You, Jeff, so much for coming on.
Man, I appreciate you having me.
I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. Our listeners learned a lot. And guys, check us out on our website, strongmenbr.com. And I'll see you next week.